Well, we've been talking about things that we need to do more of. Even though many of us are already doing well in some of these areas when compared to others, we can all do better. Today, we're going to talk about reading the Bible more. The previous five messages have been titled Love More, Pray More, Connect More, Give More, and Serve More. I wanted to stay with the theme, but the title Bible More just didn't sound right. And Read More, although it sounded okay, didn't really fully convey what we're talking about. Because there are many in this room who, if I simply said read more, they say, yeah, I want to read more. I've got a novel I haven't been able to read yet that I want. We're not just talking about reading in general, although, you know, reading never hurts. We're talking about what we read. And we're not talking about simply reading for recreation. We're talking about reading for purpose. Because if we read the right book, it can change our lives. Amen? So to make today's message fit with the previous messages, I've titled it Study More. But I need to let you know that there's some fine print in between those words. It's actually study the Bible more. But the other ones were only two words, so it's study more. Today's message is based on 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 from the King James, which reads, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I think it's important to stop right here and define what it means to study something. Many of us don't like the word study. Now, if I had the young people here this morning, the teenagers are still in school, I said, how many of you guys like to study? Or what's your favorite thing at school? Probably very few of them would say studying. They don't like the study part. You guys think back to your school days. The study is not the fun part. School for Moses would be so much more fun if it didn't include that nasty thing called study. Who invented that disgusting thing called a term paper? Wouldn't it be nice if we could somehow just connect our brain to the World Wide Web and download everything we need to know? It's right there. You know, you go to school in the morning and you simply hook a cable up, and 10 minutes later you walk out and you've got all the knowledge right there in your head. Wouldn't that be something? I don't know, maybe they'll get to that eventually. There are ways to use the web to aid in our study. But unfortunately, there's no way to actually learn something that easy. To really learn something, we must study. The Oxford Dictionary says study. This is the definition of study. Definition number one, to devote time and attention to gaining the knowledge of something. Let me say it again. To devote time and attention to gaining knowledge of something. And the second definition is to look at closely. To really learn something, we must devote time and attention to it. We must look at it closely. We must examine all the angles and verify all the facts. Many people want to tell us what to think and want us to simply buy into their interpretation of how things happened and what they say. I mean, if I said it, it's true, right? So you should just listen to me. But how can we be sure that what somebody's telling us is really true? We need to dig deeper. We need to do our own research. Instead of just believing what someone says about something, we need to study it for ourselves and determine what the real facts are. Now, when it comes to spiritual things, there is one more thing that really helps. We need to learn how to listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be our guide in spiritual matters. But it still doesn't negate the command that Paul gave to Timothy to study. Timothy had the Holy Spirit, but Paul still instructed him to study. We do our part by studying, and the Holy Spirit comes alongside us and helps us understand what we're studying. And he helps us distinguish between the truth and the lies. So let's read that verse again. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul told Timothy if he wanted to be approved by God, he needed to study. Now let me read the same verse again in the NIV. NIV says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. It almost sounds like we're reading two different verses, doesn't it? They sound so different. Which one's right? Was Paul talking about studying the scriptures, or is he talking about doing our best to please God? Yes, that's the answer. Actually, both are correct. The NIV actually does a better job of translating directly from the Greek. The literal translation of what Paul said in the Greek says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. That's the Greek, a straight translation from the Greek. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. But when we put that together with the second part of the verse, which talks about correctly handling the word of truth, what Paul is really saying, this is from the Jerry Galbraith expanded translation, what he's really saying is, do your best to please God and be approved by him. To do that, study the scriptures diligently and do your best to interpret them the way that God intended them. Don't settle for something that is palatable to you and fits the way you think things should be. Instead, spend enough time with the whole Bible and the counsel of the Holy Spirit to really understand what God is saying and then do what he wants you to do. I actually think the Amplified Bible in this case, I looked through all the various translations, and I think the Amplified Bible in this case has really depicts the true meaning of it, because there's what it says and there's what it was intended to say, and sometimes that's kind of hard to distinguish between those. The Amplified says, study and do your best. So put both those thoughts together, because to do our best to please God, we have to study. If we don't know, remember those bracelets people used to wear all the time, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, how can we do what Jesus would do if we don't know what he did? How can we please God if we don't know what he wants us to do? That's why we study the scriptures, because it tells us. And if we read it and understand it in context, we know what we're supposed to do. There's a lot of people out there doing a lot of things that they think are pleasing to God, but they haven't really studied this. And a lot of things that are done in the name of Christianity are really not the way Jesus would have done things. But we've got to read this to figure it out. The Amplified says, study and do your best to present yourself to God approved. A workman who has no reason to be ashamed, accurately handling and skillfully teaching the word of God. That, in my mind, is a great translation from the original Greek. Now, if I were to ask how many of you in this room want to please God or be approved by him, I'll bet every hand would go up. So I'm going to make it easier. Is there anybody here who doesn't want to please God? Raise your hand. No hands. That's what I thought, because if you didn't want to please God, why would you be here this morning, right? We all want to please God. But how do we please him? We please him by following his commandments and doing what he says to do. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And how can we learn his commandments? How can we know what he wants us to do? By reading this book. Everything we need to know is in this book. But if we don't read it, we won't know it. Maybe that's why a lot of people don't read the Bible. Maybe they figure they're only accountable for the things that they know. And they're afraid that if they read the Bible, they may find something that in their life that they have to change. And they don't want to change, so I'd rather not know it, so I'm just not going to read it. Because then when I get there, I can say, well, I didn't know that. Unfortunately, I don't think ignorance is going to get us very far on Judgment Day. All of the instructions are written right here in this book, and all of us have access to the instructions. It's our responsibility to learn what it says. Can you imagine trying to take your car into the dealership because the engine went out, because you never changed the oil and never checked the oil, and it ran out of oil, and your engine went out, and you take it back in, and you're demanding that they replace the car engine because the engine went out, and they say, did you change your oil? I didn't know I had to change the oil. Well, we don't have to replace it because you should have followed the instructions. It doesn't work. We have the instructions. We need to read the instructions. We need to understand the instructions. A few years ago, the Barna Group did a survey to see how many people who claim to be Christians, okay, because it's sometimes hard to tell. I mean, there are things that we can watch and see, are they really acting like Christ? Is this a Christian means? Is Christ-like? But there are a lot of people going around saying, I'm a Christian. They even wear the t-shirt. But some of them I have to question because I don't really see them following the instructions that he gave us. Anyway, he did a survey to see how many people who claim to be Christians are actually practicing some of the spiritual disciplines that every Christian says are important. Because almost everybody who professes to be a Christian will say it's important to read the Bible. They'll say it's important. Christians should read the Bible. We all know that. But we can know that, we can say that, but are we really doing it? So in his survey, asking about things that Christians do, like how often do you pray, you know, how often do you go to church, and some of those things, one of the questions was, how often do you read the Bible? What percentage of Christians do you think actually read their Bible every day? 18%. Only 18% of those who would say on paper, I'm a Christian, and they would say it's important to read the Bible, only 18% admitted to reading the Bible every day. And when I first saw that, I was shocked. And then I thought about it and said, wait a minute. I'm going to give people the benefit of the doubt. Okay, I always like to, you know, look at the cup as half full instead of half empty. I'm going to give people the benefit of the doubt. To be honest, I would have to say I don't read my Bible every day. So if I took the literal question, do you read your Bible every day? I would have to say no. I'm a pastor. There are days when I miss reading my Bible. Now, if the question were rephrased, do you read your Bible regularly? Do you at least read your Bible several times a week? Do you read your Bible the majority of the days of the week? I would say yes. But to be honest, I would say no. So then I wondered, okay, how many of that 18% are actually being truthful? Are they honestly saying they read the Bible every day, 365 days a year? They never miss the Bible for anything. Okay, so it makes more sense. Doesn't sound so bad that way, does it? But then I read the next statistic. In the same survey, 23%, that's almost one in four, admitted that they never read the Bible. Never. They have one. They probably have several. They might even carry it to church on Sundays, but they don't open it, even when they're in church. Maybe because we put it on the wall, they don't have to open it. But you know, you should be looking it up to make sure that I'm not making up those words up there. That's your responsibility, to check up on me and make sure I'm telling you the truth. They have a Bible, but they never open it. They might carry it to church on Sunday, but then they take it home, and the rest of the week, it's forgotten. Watch this little video clip. Ouch. Now, I'm not saying you can't be saved without reading your Bible. But God gave us the Bible for a reason. It's His instruction manual for life. He created us, and he knows what's best for us. If we really want his blessing on our life, we need to follow the instructions that he gives us. The Bible is food for our souls. It's vital to our lives. In its pages, we find the very words of God. We find life. The Bible tells us about God's love and how he sent his son to redeem us from our sin. But redemption is only the beginning. Once we're redeemed, the Bible tells us how to live, how to find meaning, and most importantly, how to know God on a deeper level. One of the greatest dangers facing the church right now is biblical illiteracy. Because people don't read their Bibles, they have no idea what is actually in the Bible. Another study by George Barna found that 82% of the U.S. population believe that the phrase, God helps those who help themselves, is a verse in the Bible. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you thought the same thing. There's a lot of things that we think are in the Bible that's not in the Bible. 12% in a survey, when asked who Joan of Arc was, said that was Noah's wife. 50% of high school seniors, when asked, think that Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. It's not that people don't have access to the Bible. The average American home, both Christian and non-Christian, so you just take the average American Christian home overall, the average American home owns more than three Bibles. Now, how could you own, 3.2, 3.3, something like that. I mean, that's the average, right? The average American home has more than three Bibles. Even those who don't have a printed Bible in their home can download it for free on their smartphone or tablet. And I know that's how a lot of you now use your Bibles. And I have to, be careful sometimes not judging people because I see somebody with their phone and they're doing something on their phone. And I have to remember, give them the benefit of the doubt. They're probably looking up the scriptures. That's a good thing. They certainly wouldn't be posting to Facebook or something or reading their messages in the middle of service. So thank you for bringing your Bibles, even though they might be digital Bibles. So people have access to the Bible. The Word of God is more available than ever, but it's read less. Too many people are being led astray by false teaching because they don't read the book on their own. Instead, they listen to what other people say about the book, and they fall for a watered-down gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 to 4 says, the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Many people today have bought into myths and false doctrine because they don't take the time to study the Bible for themselves and to see what it really says. If you don't study it for yourself, it's easy to fall prey to someone who sounds like they know what they're talking about. Paul told Timothy that he needed to study so that he could correctly handle the word of truth. Without careful study, by picking and choosing verses and ignoring others, someone can make the Bible say whatever they want it to say. Let me give you kind of a crude example. If I take three scriptures, Matthew 27:5, Luke 17:31, and John 13:27, and I put them together without the proper context, I get this. Then Judas went away and hanged himself. Go and do likewise. What you are about to do, do it quickly. But that's taking the verses out of context. Some of those words I just quoted were even the words of Jesus. Jesus said them. Shouldn't we do what Jesus said to do? Yes, but within context. And a lot of false doctrines have been thrown out there, and people are following for them because they say, hey, it's in the Bible. Oh, okay, it's in the Bible. I better do it. It's our job to study and see, are those things being used in context? Are they really saying what it was intended to say? Does it go along with all of the other teachings of the Bible? Because if I ignore parts of the Bible, I can justify certain things. Based on certain scriptures, I can say this is what it says. But if I take the whole counsel of the Bible, it can't really mean what I want it to say because this other Bible or this other thing says something different. The Bible works together as one whole. instruction manual. When we read scripture out of context, we believe things that aren't true and start believing certain actions are okay when the Bible specifically forbids them. We start believing that God has promised us things that he hasn't really promised, because we all like promises, don't we? So people take the promises of God and then they try to demand, well, God, you have to give this because you promised you were going to give this, but they want to ignore the parts where God said, if you do this, then I will do this. We want God to live up to his part of the promise, but we don't want to follow the instructions that fulfill that promise. Most people will say they want to please God, but it's impossible to please God without doing what he wants us to do. And the only way to know what he wants us to do is to study the Bible. Now, the truth is, all of us, even those who would say we hate to study, because I joked about that at the beginning, even those who say I don't like study, every single one of us spends time studying something. I don't know what it is for you, but we might say I don't like to study. You are studying. A gamer will spend hours studying how to play their game better. They'll look up all the cheats and how to find the Easter eggs in the game and all the different things. And some of the Easter eggs in the game, I don't know, you know, gamers know what I'm talking about. They will spend hours studying how to be better at that game. A fisherman will spend hours reading fishing magazines and watching fishing shows, trying to find out what's the best lure to use, what pole should I use in this situation, even studying where the fish are biting this week, because they want to be a better fisherman. So they spend time studying that. When one of my car breaks down, I spend hours researching the problem, trying to determine what's wrong with the car and whether or not it's something that I can tackle on my own or if I need to take it to somebody smarter than I am. And I find that a lot of times by studying it, I can save myself a lot of money by fixing it myself, because it's really not as complicated as what I thought it was originally. It's actually a pretty simple thing. People who have hobbies spend hours studying their hobby, trying to figure out how to be better at that hobby. There are people who will spend hours watching the Animal Planet or History Channel because they love that kind of stuff. And so they're sitting here watching that, studying that. But you know what? There's a lot of stuff on the History Channel that's not accurate. There's a lot of stuff on there that doesn't go against this. If we want to know how things really came to be, this was written by the guy who made it all come to be. And sometimes we can study, but by not checking out our sources, we can actually be filling our heads with stuff that's not true. Jesus said, we shall know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Truth comes from this book. People will go to seminars. They'll read books and even take night classes to learn a new trade or to get a promotion at work. But many of those same people who are studying all those other things never open their Bibles because they're too busy. Got time to study everything else, but no time for God's word. There's nothing wrong with studying those things. But no matter how much we learn about those things, they have no eternal value. When we leave this earth, everything we knew about those things, it won't really matter. If we want to study something that really matters, something that will stay with us for all eternity, this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Paul says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for good work. Do you want to be equipped for good works? How do you do that? Studying this book. Almost everyone has a desire to do good works, and the only way to be fully equipped is to study the book that tells us what good works are. Let me give you a few more scriptures that talk about the importance of studying the Bible. Joshua 1:8 says, keep this book, which wasn't the whole book yet, all of it hadn't been written, but the parts they had up to that point, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Wait a minute! I thought if I just gave thousands of dollars to that TV preacher, I was going to be prosperous. Joshua tells us how to be prosperous and successful. Study this book. Do what it says. God blesses us when we study His Word and do what He says to do. Do you want to be prosperous and successful? God told Joshua if he meditated on the Scriptures, that would happen. Guess what one of the synonyms for meditate is? I looked it up because it says meditate on it. Meditate on the Scriptures. So I looked up synonyms for meditate. Guess what one of the synonyms is? Study. Study it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. The New Century Version of the Bible substitutes the word meditate, or substitutes the word study for meditate in the same verse. Okay, so again, different translations say it differently. The NIV, which I just read, says meditate. New Century reads like this. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commands. This is a different verse, not Joshua 1. See, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today, and the curse if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn from the way that I command you to. Okay? I just talked about, let me go back. I figured out what I did here in my notes. The New Century substitutes the verse study for the word meditate. And then we're on to another thought. Deuteronomy. God says, I am setting before you a blessing and a curse. You can decide whether you're going to have the curse or whether you're going to have the blessing. If you obey what I've written, you will have the blessing. If you turn away from it and don't do it, you will have the curse. You decide. You've got the rules. Study and follow the rules. To really learn the commands, it takes more than just hearing a message once a week. It even takes more than simply reading the Bible for 15 minutes a day so we can check it off our list. Yep, I read it. I'm done. I'm good for the day. To understand the commands, we must study them. James 1:25 says, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. The blessing comes from learning it and doing it. The New Century Version, in that same verse that I just read, let me read this. I like the way this one reads. But the truly happy people, who wants to be truly happy? The truly happy people are those who carefully study God's perfect law that makes people free, and they continue to study it. They do not forget what they heard, but they obey what God's teaching says. Those who do this will be made happy. Psalms 119, 97 to 104. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate, remember, that's not synonym for study. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate or study your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong. Unless we study it, we don't know which path is the right path and which path is the wrong path. We have to study the Scriptures. If we really want to please God, we have to know what He wants us to do. And the only way to know what He wants us to do is to study the manual that He gave us. Notice I again said study, not read. I could read the entire Bible through every year. But if I don't understand what I'm reading, it's a waste of time. It's better to read the Bible in small chunks and fully digest what we're reading than to simply read it for the sake of reading or just so we can say, I read it. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, I've tried studying the Bible, but I simply can't understand it. If I can't understand it, why waste time doing it? So with the short time we have left, I want to give you a couple of pointers to help you in your study. You might want to take notes on this. Okay? You're saying, I've tried. And the reason I don't read my Bible is because it's a waste of time because I really don't understand it. Let me just give you a couple pointers to help you get more out of your time reading the Word. First, start with prayer. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and to help you understand what you're reading. That's one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit. If you look and if you go back and listen to my series on the Holy Spirit or do your own search on it, that's one of the reasons the Holy Spirit was given, is to help us understand. So start with prayer. Say, God, help me. Send your Holy Spirit. Take over my mind. Help me understand what I'm reading. Secondly, remember that there is a difference between reading and studying. That's what we've been talking about today. If you're just sitting down and you're just reading so you can say you read, you're probably not going to get anything out of it. You have to study it. When I study the Bible, I almost do what I did in school when I was writing a term paper. Even though the Bible is the main text, I want to understand the culture and the setting of what I'm reading. So I read something and I say, okay, I wonder what that really meant to the people that Paul was writing to, or to the people Jesus was talking to. What would have been going through their minds at that time? So I go back and I try to get the historical setting and the cultural setting that goes along with it so that I understand it the way it was meant to be understood. Fortunately, with the invention of the internet, a lot of those things are easier to find now than they were years ago. Google's my best friend. Just ask Google. You know, what was culture like? What was society like? What was going on in Jerusalem at this year? Then I like to look at what other people think the passage says. I like to look and see what other pastors have said about this passage that I'm reading. And I've got commentaries downloaded on here because most of my books are on here now. I don't have that many on my shelf anymore. I have commentaries by other pastors that I highly respect and even some that I don't highly respect because I like researching both sides of an issue. I've got some good, I'm going to call them friends because, you know, my friends are who I say they are, right? Never met them. But I've got some good Baptist friends who have lots of great things to say and lots of insights into Scripture. I don't agree with them on every point, but at least gives me their perspective. I understand where they're coming from. And I've got to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to me what it really says. But there's a lot of times I can learn things from them. But I have to not just take their word for it, I have to let the Holy Spirit speak to me individually. So don't just take one person's opinion. Read multiple opinions and check the sources to make sure they're reliable. Who are you listening to? What are their credentials? And then I cross-reference everything that I read. How many know what cross-referencing is? Go back and see every other thing. Don't just take a scripture. Oh, wow, I didn't know that. Oh, yeah. I haven't been doing that. I guess I could be doing that because it says right there I could be doing it. I cross-reference every scripture. In fact, when I prepare my sermons, I will go through and I will, and it's great now with the invention of the internet and stuff and copy and paste. I'll have a Word document open. And if I'm doing something like, you know, today I'm doing a message on study. So I look up in my Bible. A Bible Gateway. I look up every scripture in the Bible that uses the word study, and I copy and paste them all onto a Word document. And then I say, okay, what other words might that be? Because, you know, different translations are different. So meditate. Okay, look up every scripture that uses the word meditate. Look, all those things. I get all those scriptures on one page, and I read through all of them so that I can make sure that everything I say is lining up to every single one of those scriptures, not just based on one that's taken out of context. Cross-reference it. Okay, that means your Bible study is probably going to take longer than 15 minutes. Okay? And you know what that means? It means you might be on one chapter for a week or for 2 weeks. Don't get in a hurry to get through it. Make sure you thoroughly understand the section you're looking at before you move on. Do your research. Check out the culture, the setting, what other translations say. Oh, I haven't gotten there yet, have I? I like to read, it has come out today, you've seen it today especially, I like to read each scripture in multiple translations. Believe it or not, all of the various translations are essentially saying the same thing, or at least trying to say the same thing. Now remember, I read that one earlier on where it sounded like two separate things. They were really trying to say the same thing, they just used different words to say it, and if you take both those and put them together and say, okay, how can these two be the same thing? It starts making sense, because the Greek never said study. The Greek just said, diligently do your best to serve God. But to do that, we have to study. None of the translations, because some people say, well, I only use this translation. I only use them all. None of them are out there trying to deceive you. They're giving their best interpretation of what they thought it meant. And usually I find the correct translation falls somewhere in the middle of all those various views. So look it up in other translations. See what the other translation says. If there seems to be a discrepancy or disagreement between the translations, then try to find out what the Greek or Hebrew actually said. And you no longer have to be a Greek or Hebrew major to see what the original said. It's easy for me, because if I really want to know, I just go to Caitlin, because she studied all that. And I just go to Caitlin and say, hey, Caitlin, I got this one verse here. What does the Greek say in this? And she looks it up for me, gives me a quick answer. But if she's not around, there are other ways I can do it. It just takes me a little bit more time. You guys don't all have access to Caitlin 24/7 to do that. And please don't start using her for that, because I need her, okay? There are Greek and Hebrew lexicons that you can purchase, or you can download them to your tablet or to your smartphone, or look them up online. There are ways to find that, to go back and see what the original Greek and Hebrew said. I used to use, in the old days, a Strong's exhaustive concordance. You know why they call it exhaustive? Because it's exhausting to read. I mean, it's huge. It's a huge thing. But in there, every scripture, it gave the Greek root, and then you go to the back of the concordance, and you could look it up, and it would tell you what that Greek was. You didn't have to be a Greek major. Okay? Some of you don't have that. There are ways of finding that. And if you just want to cheat a little bit, I have found that the Young's literal translation is usually spot on. When it comes to interpretation, the Young's literal translation, they didn't try to say what they think it meant. They simply took the Greek and Hebrew text and they said, this is the literal translation of what it was. This is what it said. Now, you still have to determine what did it mean to that culture, because that culture was different than our culture. But they're not trying to explain it in our language. They're simply saying, this is the literal translation. This is what the Greeks heard when they heard this passage. So it's a great way. So I encourage you to at least look it up in the Greek's literal, but then compare it with the English translations, the newer English translations, to see how they match up. So look at it in multiple. If we really want to grow in our faith and please God, we need to know what we believe and why we believe it. It needs to be our faith, not our parents' faith, not our pastor's faith, or the faith of our favorite TV preacher. We need to stop saying, well, I believe this because Pastor Jerry said so. I'm glad you put that much faith in me, and I'm going to do my best to not lead you astray. But it can't be because I think it's that way. It needs to be your conviction. You need to study it on your own. Let me be the one to prompt you and say, man, I never heard that before. That's kind of interesting. I believe Pastor Jerry, but I want to research that on my own. Make it yours by studying. You know, there's a scripture, we're going to talk about this probably next week. There's a scripture that says, be ready to always give an answer to anyone who may ask of you as to the hope of your salvation. So when you're talking to somebody and they want to know about Jesus, they want to know what something means, you need to be ready to give an answer. And they don't want to hear you say, well, my pastor says, or my mom said, or in Sunday school I learned. You need to know, what do you believe? And why do you believe it? I'm speaking with conviction because I've studied it. I've researched it. This is what it means. And I have no problem telling you this is what it means, because I really believe this in my heart. It's not what somebody's told me to believe. This is what I believe God has said in his word. And this is what the Holy Spirit has spoken to me. We have no problem studying other things that interest us. But how much time do we actually spend studying the one thing that really matters? We make time for the things that are really important to us. People say, I don't have time to read the Bible. You know what? We all have time to do whatever we want to do. We make our schedules. I don't have time is not an excuse, because we have time to do all kinds of things that have no eternal value. When are we going to start making time to do the one thing that really can change our lives? One of my goals for this year, even though I spent a lot of time studying last year, one of my goals this year is to study more. I am going to study God's Word more than I ever have before. And I hope you'll join me in that commitment to study God's Word.